Session number 9011, real one.
Now that's on now.
Yes, that's right. Right. Yes, don't worry. Let's start at the beginning. When did you join the Navy?
I joined the Navy in about 1910. Something like that.
Yes.
Well, it was nearly 1911, actually, you see. And then when I left school, you see, when I was a boy, I was a messenger in Mark Lane, as I worked for the Director of the United States Cable Company. And from there, I went into helping a man in the haberdashery business, you know. And then from there I went into a tin box factory. And then from there I went to as a toilet soap maker.
Mm-hmm. Well, all sort of boy jobs were there, sort of fetching and carrying.
And then I joined the service, see.
Mm. Why did you join the service?
Well, up against things, you know. My parents wasn't very well off. And
what did your father do?
My father was a master builder.
Mm.
A master builder.
Yes.
And all my brothers, bar me, worked for him.
Yeah. How many brothers do you have?
I had four brothers.
Mm.
And I had one sister, and she died in 1914.
Mm. Were you the youngest or the eldest?
I was the youngest the family, I was the youngest. And, of course, they all passed away now.
Mm.
And then, of course, when I joined the service, I come down to Chatham here.
Mm-hmm.
I joined on the President in the Thames,
mm-hmm.
and then I come down to Chatham, and my first ship was in the Tull.
Mm. Did you go to Shotley Barracks?
No.
No.
No. No, I was coming straight down to Chatham.
Mm.
When
I was you were 18 then, were you?
Yeah, so I had my training then, you see, and I went to the HMS Natal. That was an armoured cruiser.
Yes.
400 armoured cruiser. Mm. And while I was with her, I went out to India with the King and Queen of them days.
The Durbar.
I never actually went to the Durbar. I went to Bombay.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on an atoll, and there was four ships escorted the Medina out. We called it Gibraltar, Suez, Aden, Bombay. Coming back, Bombay, Aden, Suez, Gibraltar and England. We never touched Malta, neither way. And we had a very extraordinary experience on that trip. Coming back, we went out, it took us 3 weeks to go out, 7 weeks we stopped out, then 3 weeks coming back. And coming back into the Mediterranean, we run into a very heavy seas. Then we was told to go and find a ship that had lost its crew. It was a Spanish ship off the island of Sicily. And when we found her, we managed to get a rope hawser on her.
Mm.
And that broke, and then had to get a wire hawser on her. And while we was towing her, a tug come out from Sicily, took her in charge. Well, us being junior ship, we fell in for them jobs, you see. And then when we got on the way again, they reported a derelict was floating about, and we found this derelict, and it was an iron barge. And this iron barge had nobody on it. They lowered some sailors onto it and tested it was empty. So we had a man aboard that ship who held he was a first class shot on a 9.2. His name was Scott, Petty Officer Scott. And they gave him the preference to have 3 shells, and if he didn't sink it, he gave the next man shot. Anyhow, he fired one, and it was a bit wide, and he fired one, the next one, the second one, a little bit short, the third one, marvellous.
Yeah,
and it was about 12-mile range, 10 to 12-mile range.
Yeah.
It was only like a little speck in the water. And it was a marvellous thing, that was. Well, when we come home, it was a snowstorm on when we got back to England. And the people that was waiting at Portsmouth for the King and Queen didn't realise that he was in London and they were still waiting there.
Yeah.
And then when you come round to Chatham, paid off.
Mm-hmm.
Paid off in Chatham.
Yes.
Well then.
What rating were your?
Stoker.
Stoker. Mm.
I was Stoker first class. I was an acting lead in Stoker when war broke out.
And what training did you have?
About seven or 8 months training.
Yes, where did you go for that?
Chatham.
Chatham.
Mm, here. Or, mm. And we done a bit of a boat. It used to be a boat named the Champion, I think, was about down in Medway here somewhere here. And we used to do a bit of training on there for stoking, you see.
Yes. How did they train you?
Well, they give us everything, you see. They trained us to everything.
Mm. You had seamanship as well as
natural. Certain amount, yes. Mm. Everything. Mm. And then...
This is coal burning, presumably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coal boats.
Coal boats, yes.
And then after I left the Natal, I went to the Inflexible.
Yes.
Battle cruiser. And I went on a three-year commission in the Mediterranean.
Mm.
In a three-year commission in the Mediterranean. Well... While we was when I went out there, we was ordered to a place in around the archipelagos, Grecian archipelagos, because the Triple I war was on between the Greeks and the Turks.
Yes,
we used to search every ship to come along, and after that, we went come back to Malta again and. We used to go on cruises, see, and go out doing practice, go and practice and one thing and another. And when we used to go on these cruises, of course, we used to go to being on a flagship. She was a flagship in the Mediterranean,
yes.
Admiral Sir Berkeley Milne. Had a big staff aboard, and we used to go on cruises, see, to different places, such as Genoa, Naples, Venice, Palermo, and Trieste, and Corfu. Parthias, you know, in Grecian archipelagos, Cyprus, Alexandretta, Constantinople, we went up to Constantinople, and right along Jaffa there, along that coast there, into Alexandria. Mm. Then we either used to go out and do battle practice or do a steam trial. We used to go back to our base again in Malta, and we used to tie up on the buoy there, it was a flagship.
Mm.
She was a flagship of the Mediterranean. Of course, there was we had a very powerful fleet in those days in the Mediterranean. Three battle cruisers, four armour cruisers, 14 destroyers, and that was about it, and a few submarines, of course. And then war came along, see. Then there was actually two German ships in the Mediterranean, in the Goeben and Breslau. Well, we was waiting orders then, you see. And then as soon as war was declared, we went out after them. But they got away from us, and they interned themselves in the Dardanelles.
Yeah.
And then from the Dardanelles, after they interned themselves, we was ordered back to England.
Mm-hmm.
And we got back to Plymouth. And then we dropped the full admiral, Admiral Sir Berkeley Milne, and I don't know what became of him. And then we went and joined up the North Sea Fleet in the Heligoland Bight Battle.
Mm.
And then from there, I went on the North Sea Patrol, etc., etc.
Mm.
Then we had instructions to go to Rosside. And then while we was on the way to Rosside, we had orders to go to Bantry Bay in Ireland. And from Bantry Bay, we had orders to go down to Plymouth. And while we was in Plymouth, we was taking in supplies. There was a retired admiral come there on the Invincible. Her name was Sturdy.
Mm.
Admiral Sturdy.
Yeah.
Well, we had instructions to prepare to go out, seeing everything else. And we went out, and we didn't know where we was going. We took in a lot of supplies that lasted for a couple of years or so.
Mm.
And then... The next morning, Fillimore, that was our commodore, he said, no doubt you've been hearing all these rumours and buzzes going round. He said, and I'm going to tell you, he said, now what we're going to do. He said, we've had all instructions that the Good Hope Monmouth have been sunk off of El Prezo, but we don't know for certain. In any case, we're going out to find these German ships and we're going to sink them, whether we go around the world once or whether we go around the world twice. Eventually, we went to the Verde Islands. From the Verde Islands, we went to the Brolas Islands. And from the Brolas Islands, which was a secret coaling station north of South America, then from the Brolas Islands, we made a sweep down the South American coast. And on the day we crossed the line, they spotted smoke. And they challenged this boat, she wouldn't stop. And they fired a shell at her, and she wouldn't stop. They fired another shell at her, and she stopped. But when we got to her, she was a British ship, because we flew the ensign up about as soon as we cleared ship for action.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got to this boat, her name was Agamemnon. And she had 5,000 tons of coal going from Wales to Buenos Aires. And we, of course, we done them all, we claimed it.
Yeah.
And we said, and the skipper said to her, well, eventually you'll have to go to Falkland Islands, take such and such a latitude and latitude, because there's such two ships about Kongsberg and Emden, and you'd have to take precautions. And they went to the Falkland Islands, and we made a sweep down the South American coast, see? And then we was coaling ship the next morning, and they come round to take the Falklands, Admiral von Spee and his squadron, which was the Shinos, Gisenau, Leipzig, Dresden, Nuremberg, and two transports. Well, the Shepherd, I think he was, he gave the tip that these ships was coming round. Well, we still carried on coaling until they got near the Falklands. Well, what happened was, the five of them was in a line, see? And then Admiral von Spee, he took the Shinost, the Nuremberg, no, the Shinost, Nuremberg and Leipzig, that's right, and he left the Gisenauer, and Dresden, I think it was, yeah, to blow the wireless station down. Well, the old Canopus battleship was on the beach there, and she was using her guns for forts.
Mm.
See? Well, when the Gisenauer and Dresden drawed in near to blow the wireless station down, there was a cadet on the Gisenauer, and he said, there's ships in there with fighting tops. See? And they said, no, not such types of boats out there with fighting tops. But anyway, before they could blow the wireless station down, the Canopus fired a broadside at these two ships and drove them off. Well, instead of them making off, they didn't do that. They got so far away and they weighed in a line. See, the five ships was in a line. The two transports was behind the islands. See, I understand what I mean, was so far away, waiting orders. Well, as we went, they sent all the old boats out, like the old Kent, Cornwall, Carnarvon and all them, they waited till they properly got out. And then we went out, the two powerful ships, mm-hmm. Invincible and Inflexible. But as soon as they see us, they made off. Well, we could do a faster speed than them. We could do about three or four knots faster than him. And we left in the morning about between 9 and 10, and we caught them up about half past 1, and we had our dinner, prayers, and Fillimore had us all on the upper deck, and he said, will you oblige me by getting in the cleanest clothes, rig you can, ducks if you can, because surge is dangerous if you get wounded or anything like that, see? So anyway, of course, then we cleared ship for action, and then we fought this battle, and we sunk the Shinos at 4 o'clock, the Gisenauer at 6, Nuremberg was sunk about quarter to 7, and the Leipzig was sunk, and the Dresden got away, and she went through the Straits of Magellan. She broke the international law and went through the Straits of Magellan, got in the Pacific, see? So, of course, on the last, we never picked no survivors up off the Shinos, but we picked survivors up off of the Gisenauer. And when she was sinking, She was going down at the bows, and she was over on the port side as well. Well, what happened was that she had some wounded on her raft, and she also had wounded down below. She'd stood a lot of bashing, you see. And when we all got on the upper deck, our Fenimore says, well, try and save as many as you can off this boat. Well, what happened was, we don't know who it was, but there was someone on that ship ordered them to fire again. And she fired another 3 rounds at us. And Fenimore said, all right, we'll have to give them some more. He knocked that raft off the upper deck with all the wounded on. One went through the engine room, one went for Stokehold, the shells. I know, when the sick bay, that's right. And, of course, then, eventually, she went down. And we tried to save as many as we could. And we only had one boat. All the other boats were smashed up, see, and the main deck was shot down. And the bores of the guns was out as well, with heat. And anyway, we picked up somewhere about nearly 200 between us and the Invincible. And, of course, a lot of them that we picked up died before the night was out. They was wounded and that. And eventually they put them on the Otranto. They were aboard us for about 5 days. They put them aboard the Otranto, the liner. She was either going to Australia or she was coming to Plymouth. So they decided to take them to Plymouth. And that was the Battle of Falkland Islands.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, no, coming back.
Could I just before ask you a few questions? What did you actually do? It was oil burning, flexible as oil burning, wasn't it?
Coal and oil.
Mm.
On the battle cruisers.
Were you actually down below stoking, or were
I was
on
the ammunition? I was on a CO2 watch keeper.
Mm.
See, well then when the action stations were sounded off, my action station. I was a dynamo watch keeper as well, but actually my action station was the Forest Submerged Flat.
Mm.
As a standby. See? Relieve a dynamo watch keeper or a CO2. Mm. See?
Mm.
That was my action station,
yes.
See? Yeah.
Yeah, so that's where you spent the.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, then, when we come.
How did you tell what was going on? You were fairly shut in down there, weren't you?
Yeah, well, we knew what was going on, you see. We're getting certain of information, you see. And now and then, you see, when the action ceases a little bit, we just have a little pop up now and then and have a little, you know, we weren't supposed to because we got into trouble if we'd have got caught. You see what I mean? Same as when action stations was sounded off. I took a chance. Well, I know it was wrong to do it, but I was being a CO watchkeeper, see. Cooling the magazines at the time. Right, I nipped up on the superstation, had a little look. But when I saw some flashes come off the guns, I nipped down quick, see? So anyway, I was in the action stations then. But anyway, after we come to Gib, when we left Gibraltar, instead of coming back to England, we went up in charge of Dardanelles.
Mm.
Flagship of the Dardanelles. Well, then... we had Admiral Carden aboard us then. He took over. And then when the Queen Elizabeth come up there, before they started the operations, they handed over the flagship to her because she was a bigger ship and up to date.
Yeah.
And our staff went aboard there and we went back to the Commodore, Fillmore. And then when Fillmore landed, when the troops landed, of course, Captain Ingram, I think his name was, took over. Of course, then when the operations at Dardanelles started, we started firing on the forts in February, and then we carried on and carried on up to about the 18th of March when we tried to take it by water. And that's when we lost the Buvette blew up in dinner time, the ocean went down, the Ursa went down, the inflexible that I was on struck a mine, and I drifted her out and beached her on the island. On the island, just outside the entrance, and the Goliath, a French boat, she was sinking by gunfire when we come out, and then they carried on that night till about 11. They come out, and they never went in again until the troops was landed.
Mm.
That's when the Turks had us beach. You see, we were getting all the stuff down to the beaches again, And then, of course, we was on the beach and they couldn't get us off for 7 weeks. And down that forward submerged flat, which was my action station, I was a dynamo watchkeeper then, doing the operations at Ards. Now, that was my action station down at forward submerged flat, and there was 50 men down there, including me. Well, I was down like there, and when there was something, they was in action, see, the gunship was in action, and there was the dynamos, was, something was going wrong, lights was going down there, and said to me, she said to me, better go and see the dynamo, and so see what's the matter over there. And just as I got up, bang, killed all the 49 men down there, blew me right through over the top of the where the gangway was, you know, where they used to have a, what's the name, where they used to do the cool the meat. I forget the name of this machine. They used to cook, pump the cold air into the machine. You know the kind of thing I mean?
Not a refrigerator.
Yeah, yes. And it blew me right over that,
yes,
see?
The room, yes.
I picked myself up. And then when I was going along, and then you do my tippers to come along, who I used to work with, the name of Mitchell, and he said, we'll try and start the diesels up. I said, how can you start the diesels up? The diesel room's flooded. So we went down the dynamo room, see, which was still running, knocked the governor gears off. See, had to knock the governor gears off, and then we come up, and while we, after, before we come up, an officer up top said, anybody down there? So we said, yes. So he said, well, bring your swimming collars up. So we brought, went up on the upper deck, see, to stand by the boundary. Now he said, the commander said, now, there's nobody go over the side until we pipe band and ship, every man for himself. And he said, go over the side that she's, the opposite side that she's listening, slide down her. So anyway, she was well over then, and I saw some flashes ashore, see? So, of course, I saw these flashes and I laid down. And one of the shells knocked the capstan off, topped the capstan off. I went round the other side of the turret, and they fired from the other side and on the Asiatic side. See? So I thought, I'm not going to take a chance no more, I'm going to get undercover. So I got undercover, waiting for the commander to say every man for himself, but we drifted out with the tide and we ran on the beach. We was on there for 7 weeks. Of course, before we got these men out, they was in a terrible state. When we did get them out, they was in a bad state, and there was three brothers, had twin brothers aboard that ship. One was a Maltese, one was a upper deck sailor, and one was a leading stoker. And they all had a brother down there each and lost a brother each. And when they brought the bodies up, they took them to sea and buried them in the Aegean Sea. And then, of course, when they got this thing, they sent a thing out, like a tug, to pump this water out of us from the Admiralty, the special thing it was come out. And they got managed to get us round to Mildros. And they made a big thing out of wood with like a felt all round the edge, see? So they sent the divers down, and they gradually worked this thing on. It took them days. And they had the cable, the wire cable, right underneath the ship. And they gradually worked it on, see, as they pumped it out. See, they pumped it out, and she went on. Well, then we had a leading stoker aboard there, and he put a suggestion that they should build a wall in there. If the patch come off, see?
Yeah.
So they built a wall. They got the bricks all the creeks, and they built a wall. Now, in that wall, they had iron angles like that onto this where this patch was. And they left some gaps in the bottom of this wall so as if the patch come off, the water come through, the pumps would counteract against that. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Right, now then. That's what happened. When we got out of Mildros, we got within 100 miles from Malta and the patch come off. The pumps counteracted against the water what did come through. And the Canopus battleship towed us in,
yes,
stern first. And we got into Malta, and when we got into Malta, all the Maltese was slamming on the breakwater, and praying, and all this lot and the other. And aboard, in Malta was a man named Polo, his nickname. And he used to sell all the different things to the crews and all that kind of thing, accordions, mandolins, mandolin, like that. And he was waiting to come aboard, you see. Well, war being on, they wouldn't let him aboard. Mm. See? And he was about his money that they owed him, see? See what I mean?
Yes.
And they wouldn't grant us any leave, you know.
No. Not at all. No, not even Malta at all.
Not then. Not while this business was on.
Yes. Oh, well, of course, the Gallipoli landings were still going on, weren't they?
No, well, this ship was damaged, you see, and they kept me very quiet.
Mm.
Well, we went into dry dock, in Malta there, and they put a wooden patch on her, temporary. Yeah. And when that was on, we come away from Malta, and we'd done about 21 knots, all the way from Malta to Gibraltar. She never leaked ounce. They took that off when they got into Gibraltar, and then they put a real side in her. And you could have got two big cottages through that hole. The watertight doors saved her, and the bulkheads. The bulkheads was out with pressure, and they shored them up. Shipwright shored all up and saved her. It was a wonderful experience, that was. Well, then, after that, we come home to the North Sea again on operations. The North Sea and different operations, see. But then I left her. Left the Inflexible and come to Chatham.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while I was in Chatham...
Why did you leave her? Was there any particular reason?
Well, I suppose so many of us have been aboard so long and they defied, they give us a change, see.
Yes.
So anyway, I comes to Chatham. And while I was in Chatham, I was working in the dock on the Tipperary, Nestor and another one, I forget, destroyers, and was waiting for a draft.
Mm.
Well, while I was waiting for a draft, I was up one morning there for the old Lustrous, an old battleship up in Immingham, Hull. And we had a steamer from Immingham to have a bottom scraped in the dry dock at Newcastle. And all the barnacles were on there like that. And we could only get about 10 hour going up. And they said, well, you better be prepared. She may be sunk going up, see, but she wasn't. And we went into Newcastle, into the dry dock, and had done a bottom scraped and all like that. And we got about 14 over coming back. And we come back to Chatham, see. And we carried on in our usual routine again. Well, in the meantime, I was still waiting for a draft, see? And I managed to get home once or twice, just for a weekend.
You weren't married then?
No. I had an old lady alive, see?
Mm.
And one of my brothers was a prisoner of war in Germany, and the other one, that was a bit of an invalid, he was working in a labour corps. And the other two brothers was too old, see? Anyway, then back in the Chatham again, you see, come back. I was waiting for a draft. Well, I was down for one or two boats. There's an over number, you know, over the amount. And I was took off of them. And I come over one morning, I was up for a Chester.
Mm.
New ship, a Camelot shipbuilding yard. So we went up as a skeleton crew, stood by her for so long before she was commissioned. Matter of a couple of two or three weeks, see. Now we went to Birkenhead and she was in there being finished. She was up against a jetty there and they was testing her turbines and testing her dynamos and testing her different things. And eventually she commissioned on the 2nd of May 1916 and we went out and done our trials outside Blackpool there in Birkenhead. And then we come back again, then we went out and tried our guns. Then we come in, we went out again and done a bit of a trial. Then we come in again, and then we went up to Scapa Flow on about the 15th. from the 2nd of May we commissioned, and that was about the 15th when we went up to Scapa Flow. We went up to Scapa Flow and joined up there. And we was doing some torpedo running, testing up there, when we had instructions to go out. Well, this, when we went out, we were supposed to be going out on manoeuvres. Well, when we went out, this was a Jutland battle. We went out with Jellicoe in the morning. We joined up with Beatty in the afternoon. We joined up with Beatty in the afternoon, and we went into action with the battle cruisers, see? And some heavy ships, there was the German High Sea Fleet, not the High Sea Fleet, but there was a battle cruiser fleet, Dörfling, Settlage, Moulton, all on the town, all those. And during that period of action, there was some gunfire on the port beam. An admiral on the Invincible told skipper Lawson, who was in charge of Chester, to go and investigate. We goes over and investigates. We went through a mist. And we goes over and investigate what this was all about. When we get there, we'd had our five Germans. Of course, there's only one thing for it. We fought the four. We managed to get a torpedo into one of them. They smashed us up. Terrible. They killed everybody. They killed all the guns crews that wasn't killed. Some were seriously wounded. Jackie Cornwall, VC boy, was on the forward gun. And he stood at his post. The bridge was down. Foremost funnel was nearly down. She was old all in the side. She tried to fire a second torpedo. And when they fired the torpedo was just leaving the tube when a broadside hit her. And it jammed the warhead in there like that. And we couldn't get it in or get it out. So they had to carry it all the way from back to England when we eventually got back. Now, when we come back out of that scrap, we went...
You were down in the... What